true, in the name of the true and ever-living God, who redeemed, bless, and sanctify us. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God, my rock and my salvation. Lord, teach us to pray. Today my prayer is for my Saint Sebastian family and friends. Let us continue to grow in your love, remembering to love one another as you are loved, because patient and kind to each other, as we continue to grow in your faith, we must stand firm in your love as the Son of God and always be ready to proclaim your message of love. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be comfortable, my Saint Sebastian brothers and sisters. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Lord, teach us to pray. Boy, and do we need to pray. If I ask each of you, do you remember the first time your parents taught you to pray? Can you go that far back? Can you think about when they said you should pray? Was it the Lord's Prayer you were taught? Yeah, you didn't respond.
No.
No, it wasn't? Ooh, what was the prayer? Was it a prayer of thanks?
No.
Lord, let me go to sleep. But the important part is, was your parents taught you how to pray? And that significance of prayer stood in your lives from then until now. I remembered my mom would wake us up at about 5:30 in the morning, me and my sister. And there was a radio program of spirituality and a message. And he would pray, and my mother would make us kneel before the radio. Then she was kneeling. Sometimes you may say we were kneeling to the radio, we were praying to the radio. Because you're young. You know there's God, you're scared of God, but you didn't know. But boy, has that prayer resonated in my heart so much that even today, I can still remember the prayer. And my brothers and sisters, there's one thing that we as Christians hold consistent in our lives. It's our prayer life. How do we pray? How often do we pray? The disciples, as we know, it was a way forward because their prayer life was always important. We know Jesus, when he had times of difficulties, he always went away to those silent places to pray. On the mountain, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed and he prayed, and if you listen to the gospel this morning, it was after he prayed that the disciples says, Lord, teach us to pray. Today we are reminded about the results of our prayer. When we pray, the promise of our prayer. What are we praying for? What are we expecting? And then the practice of prayer. How often do we pray? Do we pray in the morning? Do we pray in the afternoon? Or we pray in the night? Or we just pray continuously. And praying continuously doesn't mean you have to say these long prayers. You just have to say, God, I thank you. God, I know you are in my presence. You know, the last couple of weeks, I have seen, you know, and everyone says, did miracles still happen? Well, I've seen three here at St. Sebastian. I'm not going to get into the details and specifics of it, but I've seen how prayer has changed lives of others. How others are now saying, well, Father Gary, everyone prayed for me and now I have good news. Someone is doing better. The news from the doctor is even better than they expected. Someone has an ailment and they're now healed. Someone was so sure that they were in a time of despair, but now healing has come upon them. I'm going to share a story with you about a little girl who at night was laying down to prayer. And she says, dear God, if you are there and you hear my prayer, could you please touch me? And just then she felt a touch and she got so excited. She said, thank you, God, for touching me. But then she looked up and saw her older sister and got a little suspicious. And she said to the older sister, did you touch me? The sister answered, "Yes, I did." And she said, "Why did you do that?" She asked, "God told me to. God told me to." And I'm telling you, when it's prayer, your answer to your prayer does not just come the way you want it to come. And it doesn't come at the time you want it to come. It comes always in the right time. Because God knows your needs before you ask. You know, He has given us a free will. And sometimes we will, in our anxiousness or in our urgency to make things happen, we may do something that God knows is not the best for us. Lord, will He send messages to tell us, no, no, no. But our free will sometimes take control, and we will do it anyhow. But you know the greatness about God? He doesn't say, "Well, you know, you didn't listen to me, so I'm going to mark you into the book that I'm not going to help you again." No, that's not the God we serve. The God we serve says, "I am going to forgive you, although your free will allowed you to make that decision." And then He's going to recalculate. You know, when you're on a computer sometimes and you press and it says, I'm recalculating. God is going to recalculate and says, "Okay, I had this plan for your life, but you push yourself in this little area. So how do I get you on track again?" And He just recalculates you and bring you back to your position He has for you. Always remember that your hands are in the hands of God. He knows your needs before you act. He just says to you, trust in Him. As the disciples pray and pray without ceasing. When you listen to the rest of the gospel this morning, it gets a little complicated. But the friend, all he's telling the friend is, if you are consistent, if you're persistent, you do get your needs. And you just have to be persistent with God, and the Holy Spirit will show you those gifts that you need. If I went around church this morning and asked each of you if there was something that you were so sure was not going to happen, and then it turned out perfectly fine. It turned out perfectly fine. But that's what is called patience. And many of us do not hold patience. Sometimes I don't. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I'm not the perfect priest. He tells me to be patient. This morning I made a joke to my warden, and he nearly lost it. But I can't share the joke with you because you might lose it too. So I'm not going to share it. But what I say is, we have a God that just loves us with all our faults. He just asks us to trust in Him. And somewhere in all of our lives, there's something that is not working the way we want it to do. It is not coming as fast as we would like it to. We believe that there's such a dark situation, but it's not dark. It's just a trial. You see the Lord's Prayer, it said, "Save us from the time of what? Trial." These are trials that will give us the strength to be better Christians as we see the works of God in our lives. That Holy Spirit is the supreme gift He's given us to us. His teachings, Jesus tells us in the beginning, the effect of prayer is being persistent and a devotion to prayer over time. Not just pray one time and hope. Pray and pray continuously. You don't need a schedule for prayer. Just be consistent in prayer. Remember the disciples in their early life as Christians. They would always tell us, and going back to Acts chapter 2, verse 42, they devoted themselves to pray continuously. Because they were now, their whole master was gone. Jesus was gone. And they are now on this new vision of, how are we going to spread this new gospel? But Jesus said, just pray. And consistently pray, and you would see the works of God. And that you can go from Acts of the Apostles and see the early works of all of our disciples. And today you can see your works. Brothers and sisters, if prayer was good for the disciples and the apostles, it's good for you, and it's also good for me. We are Christians and followers of Jesus Christ because of fervent prayers. Persistent prayer is virtuous, not when it honors our own prejudice and frustrations, but when it yields and seeks the mind and heart of the Spirit of God. When it yields and seeks the mind and heart of the Spirit of God. So when you pray, pray with God's thoughts in your mind, in your hearts, to express. Pray and pray fervently. And I'll finish with telling you, in Luke, Martin Luther King, in his commentary about the Lord's Prayer, Martin Luther said that at times of distress, our help or comfort is to take refuge in the Lord's Prayer and appeal to God from our hearts. Doing it our way will be disastrous. In God's way, thy will be done. Doing it our way will be disastrous. In God's way, thy will be done.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.